You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. Today, I have a special guest in studio. I have Stephen Burton from Waterproof Solutions.
Hey, Doug.
Welcome, Stephen.
Thanks, man. Good to be here, brother.
All right. You have been on our show a ton of times, and yeah. I have to keep having you back because you're not only a fun radio guest, but you're also an expert at what you do.
Well, I appreciate that.
So it's wintertime. Okay? Yeah. We get a lot of questions about foundations, about sump pumps, about everything having to do with keeping your home, keeping it up to date in the winter and making sure everything is safe. So let's talk about sump pump systems first.
Sure.
Okay. What can be done to prevent a malfunction to your existing sump pump system?
That's a good question. I think the first thing you want to do is you want to make sure that the pump's operating properly. And what you have to do that, you got to put a bunch of water in the bucket to make it discharge. So sometimes you got to get a 5-gallon bucket, go over to the spigot, and fill that well up to make sure that the pump comes on.
Okay. So even, like, let's just say you're even looking at a house to buy.
Right.
And there's an existing system.
Right.
That's what you would do to just to even test it.
Yeah. And then you want to make sure that the proper components are there. And most people don't understand, the size of the discharge. There's a check valve that's involved so the water doesn't come back on the pump and make the pump jump around. So if somebody has a pump that discharges and then suddenly comes right back on, well, guess what? There's no check valve and that water's coming right back into the top of the pump and it'll burn the pump up.
Not good.
Well, I mean, what we want to make sure is that I can't tell you, Doug, how many times I hear, well, it only happens when it rains really hard. Well, good. I'm really glad for that but that's what we're really up against. And these 100-year rains that we seem to get every 3 to 5 years, well, the last big run of it, and we talked about this in one of the prior shows, I realized that some of these homes needed a bigger pump. They needed something that could maybe handle 5,400 gallons an hour, where we weren't having that before, so yeah.
Well, think about building a levee around a river. Do you build the levee for what's going to flood every 2 or 3 years, or they build a 100-year levee?
Your point is taken, and that's why you have to be ready.
Yeah, you better design your system to handle a lot more than a normal rain.
And that's when the failures happen, and I got to tell you, most of the folks have these really nice basements, and they're just devastated when. Here's what happens. You think you've got something that's working right, and it doesn't work. Your carpet's ruined. The backing's gone. Your drywall's coming up a minimum of 2 feet. You've lost all your base moldings. You've lost all your tile. You've lost the commode's got to come up. The bar's got to come out. Wait till you see what this costs. So having an inspection done, and I don't charge for that. Let us look it over.
Well, and how often is that even covered by insurance when that happens for somebody?
The pump has to fail, and you have to have had the right insurance. I get a kick out of these car insurance companies right now where they're like, well, you had the wrong policy. Well, maybe you had the wrong insurance company. Well, the reality of it is you might have had I don't want to call them fly by night, but some of these companies in my industry should not be in my industry because they're selling their little labor-saving devices as the patented process.
Beware of the patented process.
If something were so good, Doug, would I only let you have it in St. Louis to sell? Oh, no. We'd be selling it everywhere. So don't ever buy into that,
So what if a house doesn't have a pump?
And that not every house, that's a good question. Not every house is going to have a drainage system in it. Some homes.
Yeah, my house doesn't have one.
Right.
House I live in.
Right. And we've watched that house since you bought it. That's how we met. The reality of it is manage your downspouts. Now, what I see done wrong a lot, no clean outs. Well, people are like, what's a clean out? Well, if you're going to bury your downspout that's on your house, that pipe that comes down, you want to get that water away from the house at least 10 feet, depending upon the grade of the house. But what we don't do a very good job of is cleaning the gutters. When was the last time you were on your gigantic roof?
Never.
I
never cleaned my gutters out, but I don't have a lot of trees over my roof
you
either.
You don't. But not all of us live in heaven like you do. The rest of us, that live in the country, we have problems.
A lot of trees.
Oops. And some of these gutter guards don't work the way you think they're going to. So my point is, you've got to be able to flush that out. So if you're not going to daylight with this, and you better put it in PVC. Black corrugated pipe, not good for downspouts.
Well, not only is it not good, those downspouts, you can't snake it out, can you?
You can't, and the weed whipper's going to get it. It's not all effect. The sun's going to tear it up. So now you've got something that's crushed from the lawnmower, leaking, not working, and most people don't even know where they go.
All right, so I know you guys do the waterproofing inside a house. Do you guys also provide those services to get the gutters away from the house and those type of things.
We do. It's full service. I mean, we could pick a house up and push a wall back into place. We have. We can repair wall cracks without having the ugly nipples on the walls. But it's really important that you manage those downspouts and get the water away from the house. French drains, swales, whatever you need to do. A patio pitching at your house can cause so much damage to your house, you have no idea.
When sometimes it may have been pitched correctly when it was built.
Correct.
And then it settles because they didn't put a good underlayment down. So I think that's a big market niche, because I think there are a lot of people listening right now that don't necessarily know how to solve all those things personally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they don't know. Yeah, they may not have the tools, and they may not know how to do it right to get that water draining away from the house. So if that's the case, call Stephen Burton from Waterproof Solutions. Stephen, what's the best number for them to reach you?
Call me on my cell, 636-236-9933.
So 636-236-9933.
That's correct.
Stephen Burton from Waterproof Solutions. So, Stephen, let's talk about backup systems.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So when do we really need our sump pump to work? Okay, during a big storm, right?
Right.
And now the power goes out.
Now, again, not everybody's going to need a backup system, just like not everybody's going to need a system. But we're talking about that, oh, my gosh, Noah's coming moment, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's when it's very important that you have, if you have a high water table or your pump runs a lot, that you make sure that you've got something that will continue to let that pump work. What I find is some of the battery backup systems aren't sustainable. They'll last a number of hours, and then they're done.
Now, well, some pump's going to use a lot of power.
Well, that's just it. That sump pump isn't the pump. There's a separate pump that's little that's being run by the battery backup. It's not that pump.
Okay.
So you got this little guy in there that's working its butt off, but it only has so much capacity to discharge as well as run because of the battery. So sometimes you're better off to have a Generac, which starts – and I'm not pitching the brand, but it does work, and I see them a lot. And they started –
Generac is
uh-huh,
the yeah. – okay, and explain that.
Basically, it can run off propane, battery backup. It's a combination of everything that you'd need. And this unit sits in your yard. It looks like a transformer. It looks like something you would see that the electric company would be running a neighborhood off of. But it will run your house 24/7 until the power comes
back. And you typically put
on.
It beside the house where the gas meter
right.
is, and that on the side, is that what's typical?
Right. And that way, you've got heat. Your fridge is still working. You've got everything. Now, another way to go is to have your battery backup system have a generator put to where you can start this gas generator outside. Now, but keep in mind, you're putting gas in a generator outside when it's raining, lightning, snowing, whatever. And you got to keep it full. And they're not quiet. You ever been camping? Everybody's got their generators running. It's not a quiet situation. And you're only going to run what? The pump? The TV in the fridge? I mean, it's only got so much ability. So
they're big, too.
Well, they're big. The money you end up spending on those, if you just went ahead and went about it the right way, you can just get it all done at one time. And
right.
I think it's important to at least know and understand these things. You know, a simple siphon, two siphons going in a pump, you can get a drill, put a siphon on it, stick the hose on it, get two of those going in your sump pump, and that will drain until the water's not there anymore. So there are other things that you can do, and I'll talk about that when I'm in that house with that specific situation.
So you will definitely advise people on situations like this. It's not just people that are having major foundation issues.
Well, it's about the people, Doug. Like, if you're traveling a lot, we got to protect your house. It's everybody's different. Every house is different, so there's no one stamp on everything, but one thing you'll get out of Waterproof Solutions and myself is straight talk.
And that's absolutely true. And in case you just joined us, you're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're speaking with Stephen Burton from Waterproof Solutions, friend of the show, one of my closest advisors when it comes to everything surrounding my foundation. I mean, you have a concrete technology.
Yeah, minor in cement and concrete products and an applied missile science degree. It's kind of odd, but yeah,
it
works.
A lot of education here. Well, okay, so let's talk about the discharge from a sump pump.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of issues with the discharge. I mean, how often have we seen them where it's running right back into the pump system?
And yeah.
If you hear the sump coming on really frequently on a normal day, that's probably a sign that it's running right back in, right?
It is. What you got two things that happen generally. They either just discharge it right out of the house and it's like a recirculating pump. It all saturates back up and spits it back out and collects it back up and spits it back out. Or you've got the homeowner or the contractor that thought, I'm going to change that discharge. I don't like it coming on the side of my house. My neighbor's been griping at me, or it's coming in the front. So they'll run it through the rafters all the way to the back of the house and out and away. Now, although it seems to function and work, what they didn't realize, the pump only has an 8-foot capacity of lift, and that thing's getting burnt up badly. Another thing is the size of the discharge. If you have a copper pipe coming out of your sump pump, call me right now before you have a problem. If you have a pipe that's 2 inches or bigger, that's another problem. It's too big. So all of these little things can turn into calamity that can
what
all
is the
be
right
avoided.
Size?
Inch and a quarter, inch and a half.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So an inch, a quarter, inch and a half is big enough to get the water out.
And it's all about proper, you know, having the right power behind it and having to be able to fill that pipe up and be able to push the water. Water's heavy. It's 8.35 pounds per gallon. So you got to make sure you can manage it.
So once you pump it out of your house, pretty important where it goes.
Yeah.
Okay, now you're trying to find a spot to run that line. Can it share a line with your downspout?
One. Don't tie more than one downspout up together. What happens is when the rain comes, and you and I talked on one of the shows, if anybody wants to catch one of the archives, if you have a 2-inch rain on a 2,000-square-foot roof, there's 500 gallons of water going to each one of those downspouts, and that is tremendous trouble. So we've got to get that water at least 10 feet away from the house. So landscaping is going to have a lot to do with it. If the back of the yard's a big drop-off, you could probably go 6 feet and just let it run like the wind. If it's flat in nature, which a lot of homes are, you want to make sure that you can go to daylight if you can with a grate on the end of it so no rodent climbs in and clogs it up. And keep in mind the clean-out's got to be on it. But then we'll go to a dry well many times, which is a big hole in the ground with rock in it, and then we'll put a grate on the top so it kind of looks like it's a drain. Well, that's just to allow the water to come out of the top of it in case the dry well just becomes overrun.
Okay.
And we have so much plastic soil, high plastic soil, which is the clay. Low plastic soil is when something's too silty, and if it gets over 30% moisture, it turns to just muck, where high plastic, it turns to rock. It can become very difficult, and it changes sizes once the water comes and it doesn't absorb. So dry wells have to be modified sometimes.
Okay. So when is a winter discharge needed?
That's a good question, and I think it's important because the pumps that are in high water table areas where those pumps run all year long, they're either on a spring, whatever the situation might be, it's a discharge that almost looks like a half a wiffle ball, Doug. You know, I get that white ball and it's got the holes in it real neat. Okay. Well, think about how good this is. This pipe's coming out. It's shooting the water out. Now, let's just say that line froze. Now, it should be deep enough and all's right. It's not going to freeze, but guess what? It's going to freeze sometimes on certain situations. This wiffle ball top will allow the water to just purge right out. Yes,
if the line's frozen.
Yeah, if it's frozen, yes, it's next to the house, but it's better than the pump burning up and you having it in the house.
So that's the difference between the do-it-yourselfer that's not going to know that little trick. I wouldn't know that little trick.
Right.
Versus having the pro come in like you.
I'm going to tell you something. I rarely will admit something like this, but I learned that from a franchise I don't care a whole lot about, but it was a good idea. So, that's how it works, you know?
You
but I'll be honest about it.
You
got to. You know, being called an expert, it's like, well, that's nice, but I still have a lot to learn. I mean, I know a lot, I've got a lot to learn.
The humility. I love it. All right, Stephen, if you have time to stick around, I have more questions for you, especially when it comes to inspecting a home that you're looking to buy.
Oh, I'd be happy
to.
It
has a finished basement. And then we're also going to talk about finishing up the winter talk about hose spigots when we return.
Oh, yeah. There's a story.
You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. I am your host, Doug Haldeman. I am rejoined by my buddy, Stephen Burton from Waterproof Solutions. Welcome back, Stephen.
Thanks, Doug.
We always have some fun when you come on, so
yes,
thanks for joining me.
My
it's great.
Pleasure.
It's a great Sunday to hang out.
That's right.
All right, so we're talking about wintertime, and talking about winter, there's always some funny stories around that because, you know, pipes freezing are not... Pipes freezing can be, you know, a scary thing. And also admit it, as an experienced homeowner, it hasn't been that long ago when forgot to disconnect the hoses.
Did it happen to you?
Oh, it's happened to me not that long ago, just from being lazy and not going out there. And, you know, it's cold outside. You don't want to go out and walk around your house, but you have to actually think about the fact that you need to go out, disconnect your hoses.
Yeah. My brother has a little mobile home and little trailer, and he didn't go jump on his little purging it and blew all of his lines out. So it's like I've already experienced somebody close to me having something similar happen. Now, it's one thing to have your little trailer that's sitting at your Lake Serenity that's got a problem. It's another when it's your basement that's flooding because, you know, you've not taken care of a spigot.
Well, and that's pretty simple, too, because, most of them are the frost-free now that you just – because it used to be you'd have to go in the house to turn off.
Right.
But now – you don't even typically have to do that. But
well, my wife does ours. I'm lucky, and she'll go out and take the hose off, put the little styrofoam thing on it, connect it up, and we're good to go. So not everybody has a Trish at the house, but I'm kind of lucky like that.
So, Stephen, I realized that in the last segment, I didn't mention all your contact information because I know that a lot of people are going to want to go back and hear the details of this. So, for one, catch the podcast of this. So if you visit smartwithyourmoney.com, you can download the podcast, iTunes, then Google Play. People are definitely going to want to get this. And then you also can listen right on our website at smartwithyourmoney.com. So I'm going to make sure all your contact information is on there because there are people that are listening. They're going to want to get your help. They're going to want to get your free inspection.
Right.
And as we're talking about inspections, let's talk about if somebody's buying a house. They're going to look at these houses, and a lot of them have finished basements.
Okay? They're difficult.
Yeah, so a house has a finished basement. How do you inspect the foundation on those?
That's a great question. First thing you do is you make sure that the outside's correct. If you don't have anything that's just definitely glaring, like a sidewalk's pointing at the house, the driveway pointing at the house, a patio that's collapsed at the house, if we're all good there, that's your first good thing. Okay. Secondly, I go to all four corners of that house. If either of the walls have pushed in, you will have
from
a break.
From the outside you're talking about?
Yes, uh-huh. Sir. Okay. I teach all the ASHI inspectors this every chance I get, the American Society of Home Inspectors. If you see a crack 8 inches in on either side, that we know we have lateral movement on those walls, but we won't see it on the inside, so that's first indicator.
So those are the things, and you said you teach ASHI inspectors. So mm-hmm. the American Society of
Home
Inspectors.
I'll be speaking in January to them about crawl spaces.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that speaks to your credentials. When the home inspectors are calling you in as the expert, okay, you're not just an expert for the consumer and for the homeowner, but you actually are teaching inspectors.
Well, I think there's a difference between saying I like this and I don't like that. That doesn't work in engineering. Let's just talk about how they work and how they don't work, why they're present. Is it a labor-saving device? Is it something that's easy for the contractor to put in? It's usually pitched to you as a patented process. but you don't want to turn this into rocket science, but it's all the devil's in the details. So if I get into a basement, everything's looking pretty good outside. You know, if you ever put drywall up, you don't put mud. Mud is the product that's used to make the lines go away in between each of the sheets.
Yes.
If I see excessive mud near the base molding or brand new base moldings,
what does that tell you?
Well, I know. They've already been cutting the drywall out and patching it, so I'm looking for places that should have never been touched. I'll go on the backside of a finished wall and look at the wood on the floor. The wood will tell the story if it's absorbed moisture or not.
That's a very good point. So you're looking in there because there's always an unfinished area somewhere.
Every time. Okay, forensics.
So look at the things, for one, that they're trying to cover up,
mm-hmm.
and then look at the things they can't cover up, mm-hmm. like that, because they're not going to pull the studs out that they frame the basement with.
I'll go. Now, here's the next thing. Go all the way upstairs. Get into the closets. Nobody messes inside the closets. That's even where the scammers don't try and fix things. So you can get in there and you'll see if the drywall is janky or broken and cracked. Go to every window. Run your hand across the corner of the window on the drywall, top, bottoms, and sides. You'll feel it. Even if they did a good job on the repair, you'll feel it because that's the places it'll crack to first.
Got it.
So there's always signs of showing if the house is moved. Even the best guy that's going to pimp it out the best he thinks he can, I can catch him.
Here's a scenario that I am seeing a lot. Okay, in this market where houses are flying off the market, people are getting multiple offers sometimes the first day it goes on the market.
Over the amount, yeah.
What I'm seeing is people are putting contracts in on houses they haven't even viewed yet. Okay, one hits the market that's a decent price, and they're immediately putting in an offer over asking price.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't even gone to look at it yet.
No, and then I come in after they've spent $1,000 on inspections, and then I say something that's very legit, and all of a sudden that deal's going poof.
Yes.
So, better to call me first. I won't charge you.
Yeah, if you're a seller, okay, if you're a seller, don't accept a contract from somebody who hasn't even viewed your house yet. And you know who's viewed it. Your listing agent should know who's viewed it because, they'll have been on the list, scheduling with you.
Right.
If they haven't gotten on the list, then that's a problem. And if you're a seller wanting to sell and you think that you may have some foundation issues, get Steven in there in advance because you're going to do a free inspection. If there's work that needs done, then you're going to tell an affordable solution on how to do it and make sure it's done right.
You know, it's to me, what the price of the repair means nothing to me. It's about what is the right deal for the homeowner. If they're buying it right and the repair makes sense, great. It's just a repair. It's just a house. There's nothing that can't be done. But I can't tell you how many times I've told somebody, let's not do this one. This one's a little bit much for you. It's a little too tight. I'm going to be the only one that makes out. Now, you do not hear that out of too many people. And I can promise you, as I stand here, I've said it probably three times this week, and it's Wednesday.
Well, and that definitely speaks to the ethics, is that when you're saying I'm the only one that makes out in this deal and you're giving them the advice, you don't want to give that, somebody the advice to do a job that's not in their best interest.
That's right. That's right. Well, there's nothing good about that, So I 25 years ago, I'll guarantee you I would have sold things that I don't sell now because I know better. So sometimes your best asset is the mistakes that you've made and you own them.
Well, and that's why you guys get so much repeat business and so many referrals at Waterproof Solutions.
Yeah. Well, I don't advertise. I mean, people like you give me an opportunity to have a voice. But anyone that browbeats you and advertises so much in my industry, I'm multi-million and I don't have to do that. I can't imagine how they're managing those businesses.
Well, okay, so Steven, your industry and the mortgage industry that I'm in are very similar. Okay, all the companies that you hear, you hear my radio show on, okay, but it's different. You are not going to hear a bunch of radio ads from me or from Cornerstone Mortgage.
Yeah.
There are other companies that you do hear a ton of radio ads by. If you get a lot of repeat and referral business, you don't need a bunch of advertising if you're doing the right thing for people.
You're right.
And that advertising is not free. Okay, that expensive advertising gets made up for in higher prices, whether it's a mortgage or whether it's waterproof in your basement, in many industries, and people need to think of it like that.
Right. And and there's a lot of folks that just go for low-lying fruit. I understand that. I mean, I'm an old guy now. I understand the way things work. But anyone that pitches you too hard, you have to be wondering, why are you trying so hard? Right. It's like somebody telling you how rich they are. Oh, really? Or anything, how anything they are. If they have to say it for themselves, it's kind of, I don't buy it most of the time.
Yeah, usually doesn't look good.
Not really, no.
All right, Stephen. Well, definitely appreciate you coming in.
My pleasure.
Great advice for our listeners. And if you want to talk to Stephen directly, okay, Stephen, what's the best way for them to reach you?
I'm easy. 636-236-9933.
So 636-236-9933.
Correct.
Call Stephen Burton from Waterproof Solutions. You also can visit our website at smartwithyourmoney.com.
Please do that.
And look at the blog post for this. You can re-listen the segment. If there's something that you missed, you want to make sure you get all the details. Listen to it today. All right, Stephen, thanks
Doug,
again for
thanks
coming
again. I appreciate you, brother.
You're welcome. Thank you. Mm-hmm.